Well, Venice will work for about a month because I've had my surgery for about a month. Now, I'm going to say something that maybe you won't agree, but this is how it comes to me. Sometimes we come here and it seems like we hear the same brethren all the time. Now, is it their fault or is it mine? If I'm at home, I have stomach problems too, so I walk funny, eat funny, look funny, so it's all funny, but so sometimes I eat the same food because I know it's not going to cause problems. But, you know, sometimes it's my fault. I could try some other food, but I don't. And so sometimes I feel, well, they get up all the time, well, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I should help out. And so if there's other brothers that are young, and some of the older ones don't get up very often, I'd like to encourage you to maybe get up. Christians like to hear somebody else once in a while. I'd like to speak on something that I know more about it after it happens than when it happens. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to speak on because I like when somebody kind of speaks and they say, oh, I'm not going to tell you right away what the answer is. See if you can figure it out. Well, if you figure out what I'm going to speak on, you're pretty intelligent. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. I'm not a good reader, so when you're not a good reader, don't do a lot of reading. Genesis 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old. Genesis 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under thy thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto thy son of the daughters of Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Verse 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear unto him concerning his that matter. Verse 11. And made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the woman had gone out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. Now there's three other places I'm not going to read, take time, but we know the stories. It's John chapter 4 that Jesus came to Jacob's well, and there's a woman there. I'm going to take this woman, it was a picture of a woman that got saved. In Acts 8 we have Philip, was told to go out into a desert, and there's a eunuch out there, and this eunuch got saved. Acts 16, we have the Philippian jailer. The jailer got saved. Now, my last reading is found in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. If you can figure out where I'm going, you're pretty intelligent. Matthew 17, verse 24. Now when they were come to Capernaum, that they received tribute money, came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do thy kings of the earth take tribute of tribute? Of their children or the strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to thy sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that was first come up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. I'd like to speak on God's timing. Something happened last night I don't like. I lost an hour of sleep. God's timing. I like to look at God's timing first in service. Abraham, I like to look at him as service. In his other place, I read in God's timing, seen souls saved. And the last one was in God's timing in supplying the need. That's how I like to take this up. God's timing. Here, Abraham told his servant, he said, I want you to get a wife for Isaac. So he took the camels and went out to this well, and here he was praying. He said, Lord, give me good speed. I like this thing, I'd like to know right away. And before he had done speaking, Rebecca came out. So here there was a man. He told him what to do, and he did it. He went out for service. But you can see God's timing and the whole thing. What? Was it just a coincidence? You say, oh, what a coincidence. This just happened just by luck. Nothing happened by luck. It's God's timing. God had the timing in this thing just right, so Rebecca was the first one there, and she did what she did. Timing. Timing of service. And I thought about Ruth. She's serving the Omai. And he's gleaning ears of corn in the field. Man, what luck she had. It was Boaz's field. You can see God's timing in this thing. She was there at the right time, and Boaz is there at the right time. And she ended up getting married to Boaz. God's timing. Perfect. God's perfect timing. You know, you think when the Lord sent his son, it's perfect timing. Read in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem men who are under the law. Matthew 20:28 says, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto him, to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So, we have God's timing and service. Now, God's timing is seeing souls saved. I read them three times. About three places. A woman at a well, a guy on the desert, and the Ethiopian eunuch, and then there was the jailer. All got saved. God's timing. You know, I hear about stories about that people that got saved, you think, man, God's time was in this thing. Maybe they moved to a different place, you know, and all of a sudden, there happened to be gospel meetings in this town, and they were invited, and they got saved. You see God's timing in this thing. Now, think about this, God's timing. Scott Hayes, there's some here that know him, kind of know him. He's from Iowa, and he's got a track out back. And here he was on the beach in Mexico, him and his wife, on a beautiful day, walking along the beach in Mexico. And all of a sudden, the sand gave away, and all of a sudden, he was being washed out in the Pacific Ocean. So he looks out. And he could see these people, but there wasn't very many people there, and they're all old people. And he thought, they don't look good. Do you know what? There was a guy there that he was training for an Ironman triathlon. He said, what's an Ironman triathlon? Well, they swim, I think they run, and they bike. There's a man who's training for that, and he's training for swimming. So what are the odds that when he went in, there's a man here trained for a triathlon. God's timing. And that ain't all. There's some kids that just came down to the beach and they had a life jacket. And so he brought this life jacket and he took it out there. And we didn't drown. They get that track out back. You can see God's timing in the thing. I thought about Jonah. You know, here these were men. They threw his stuff overboard. They didn't want to throw Jonah aboard. Well, how God's timing was, he threw him overboard. And it wasn't 10 minutes later, this great fish come, or he'd have drowned. He swallowed him. God's timing. When we see souls saved, we think, oh man, we got serious. They should be saved now. Well, we'd like to see them get saved now. But it's God's timing. Not ours. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what we pray. We pray all the time. Salvation is of the Lord. It is. It's God's timing. And we read about in Matthew, about here there was, Peter had paid tribute money. And so the Lord told him, you're gonna catch a fish. The first fish, there's gonna be a coin in his mouth, and I want you to pay tribute. What are the odds? The first fish, he caught it, and they had this coin in his mouth. Can't you see God's timing in it? And then when God told Simon Peter, he said, man, we fished all night, we didn't catch nothing. He said, go out in the deep and cast, put your nets down. What are the odds are they just went there and put the nets down and caught all these fish? You can see God's timing in the whole thing. You know, an awful thought about Elijah. Here was a guy, and here used ravens to feed him. And then all of a sudden, the water dried up. So now what's going to happen? Now he's going to use a widow woman. A widow woman. God's timing. And there's another one I thought about God's timing. It was a lad. He had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I never noticed this before until I was looking at this last night. You know, it must be very important, this little thing that happened. So why do you think it's important? Well, I know it's important. It's in the Bible. It's in all Gospels. I never noticed that before. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can you see the timing of the thing? It's that here the disciples were, they didn't have nothing. Here this lad was at 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God's timing. But you know, God's timing is not always immediately. Like Peter said, Lord, save me. But waiting time is not wasted time. And you know, Psalm 37 and 34 says, wait on the Lord. Psalm 27 and 17 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. I say, wait on the Lord. Sometimes you sing Psalm 222, our times are in thy hand. You know, a lot of times, I can't see God's timing, but like Ron, I was talking to Ron the other day, and he said, man, he can see God's timing now, and what happened? He got out of business, and now he has cancer. And I can see times, too, in my life, when I can see God's timing in the thing. I'll just tell you one. Well, a couple, I'll go to two. I worked in Northern Engraving for 17 years, and the Lord got it, so I got so sick of that place, I wanted to get out of there. By golly, Walmart opened up a store, a DC, at Toma. So, what timing? I got a job at Walmart. Been there 18 years. While I was on the lift, I had one of the easiest jobs in the building. I was a lift driver. And I got so sick of that job. And there's an order filler job. It's a hard job. You got to throw cases all the way along. It's a really hard job. And I did it before to help out. And I didn't like Dairy Deli, because there's a lot of 20 slots, and so there's a lot of bending over, and just kill my back, but I could do the freezer, because it's not a lot of bending over. I thought, you know, I like to order fill in the freezer. I don't like the cold, but I'd rather be cold and have a bad back. And anyway, there's a guy in Dairy Deli that went to a different position. So I thought, well, there's going to be a position open in Dairy Deli, but I really don't want Dairy Deli. But by golly, they had a job open in the freezer. I said, why is the freezer? Because it's easy for freezer guys to go into Dairy Deli where it's warm than it is for the guys in Dairy Deli to go into freezer where it's cold. And so I got this job. I put in for it. And while I had to do these exercises, there's one, it was like, there's sit-ups, and one was you had to lift weights going back and forth, and the other was in the back. So anyway, I passed that, no problem. So anyway, I took the job. I got the job, I took it. The next week, there's 23 jobs in Walmart they dispersed. They weren't going to have them anymore. The people didn't lose their jobs, but they're going to have to get a different job because their job was not there anymore. And guess what? If that had been a week earlier, one of them people could have took that job because they could have been there maybe 1 year, and I've been there 17 years. They would have got the job. Why? Because they needed a job, and I didn't. You can see God's timing in that thing. So, God's timing. God's timing in service. God's timing in souls being saved. And God's time in supplying the need. Maybe look for God's timing.
Good morning. Even the world will tell you timing is everything. Buy stocks when they're low and sell them high. And they look at it for their good, but we know there's a time that God would have us to do things. So let's look in Matthew chapter 4. And that's the best time. Let's break in at verse 16 at chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then, verse 1 of chapter 4, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Timing. I think this demonstrates God's time, doesn't it? First, he manifests his Son as his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. And then by the Spirit, the Lord Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tested. There's much to be learned from these testings of the Lord Jesus. And there's much to be learned from testing in our lives. James says, tribulation worketh patience. And if we're all honest, we know that's something we often lack, even as a Christian. We don't have a lot of patience. And the exhortation in the Word of God is this, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait on the Lord. That's the hardest thing to do, isn't it, brethren? You know, some of us are like this guy by the name of Larry the Cable Guy, get her done. But you know, when you're building for God and you're building God's way, there's a time. When the Lord Jesus set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem, there was a time he done that. There was a time schedule for the Lord Jesus, and he knew that time from God the Father. And when you think of things in Job's life, there was a time he was tested, that Satan was allowed to test him, and there was bounds in Satan's realm where he could not do only so much. And so we realize from this that God's in control of the whole universe. And the older you get and the wiser you get, if you're fortunate enough to get wiser, sometimes I wonder how wise I am. And I look back in spiritual things. But you see God's timing in your life even before you were saved. There's timing in getting up, like Mike has said. It's a solemn thing to take the word of God, the God that created you and I, and created this world, to get up and to present his word to the blood-bought saints of God in Ontario. And this morning, I would like to, a couple of weeks ago, I think I took up the first temptation of the Lord Jesus, and I think we'll take up the second temptation today. And let's break in at verse 5. Then the devil taketh up him, the Lord Jesus, into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The first temptation, we learnt this. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's go back to Genesis. I remember Harold Paisley speaking. He was in the Royal Air Force for a time. And in his training, they taught him this. Know your enemy. Know how he operates. And then they showed him various fighter planes that the enemy was using and their artillery on them and their type of ammunition and guns. And the Lord would do the same to us. He told us in Ephesians, as I read a couple of weeks ago, that we're in a warfare and we need to put on the armor of God. We need to be intelligent to the wiles of the devil in our life. So let's look at the first temptation of the first testing of man. Let's break in at verse 6. First we'll read at verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, chapter 3, and verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. But God had already told them that they would if they partook of the tree. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that appeals to us, doesn't it, brethren? That's a natural thing God has given to us. After a while, after my liver transplant, I couldn't eat. I had no desire to eat. And I didn't like sweets, and I used to just love them. And a doctor took me aside, and he said in one of my times I was in, they checked me over every so many weeks, and he said, You have signs of malnutrition. Well, I'd lost 100 pounds, and a lot of it was fluid, but I didn't have any problem understanding that. I just couldn't eat. Couldn't eat nothing. Nothing tasted good. Couldn't drink water. Water didn't taste good. And so the natural thing is, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that tree that God said not to eat of, it was good for food. That's what she thought. And the tree was pleasant to the eyes. And the tree was to be desired to make one wise. And these temptations are around these things, Satan running it over again on man. Tested him, and he tests you and I with these same things. How about the eye? It's a wonderful thing God give us. I'd hate to lose my vision. Not as good as it used to be, but what's all around us? Satan knows that eye, that he can use it. God naturally give it to us to use it for good, to use it for righteousness. How about these billboards? They don't have an ugly woman on there, do they? They got the most prettiest, well-shaped woman there is. Because Satan knows, even back in the 50s, when they were selling brand new cars, they had a nice-looking gal standing by that car. Satan knows the eye. And he used that on the woman. Now let's just think of it a little bit. Just think, that tree was good to look upon. It was pleasant. It was good for food. It would make you wise. Why do we get educated? Why do I haul kids to Brookwood every day? So they get education, or they're wise. Now there's a good sense to that. In all this, there's a good sense. And the powers which Ephesians telling us about is this. Every day, you need to be armed with the Word of God. Every day there's attack on you. You're in a warfare. And I think a lot of times we forget that. Now, life is good. Enjoy it. Coast along. But we really forget there's a predator chasing us every day. I was just reading about the children of Israel. How many carcasses fell in the wilderness? It made Moses go to his tent and weep and weep and call upon God. There's things that happen in our lives that makes us weep. The good thing about it, it makes us call upon God. There's tests. There's weaknesses in you and I that Satan knows about. Know your enemy. He uses natural things upon us, but there's a timing. There's a time. Sometimes I'll bid a job, and sometimes I won't bid a job. And I realize, well, you say, why didn't you? And I ask, and some people say, why didn't you bid my job? There was a reason that I didn't bid that job. There was God's timing. I was too busy already. If I bid it and got it, I'd have had to lie to him. So, oh yeah, I work for contractors. Say, I'll be there next week. Their work schedule, I knew it. It would be there for a month. Guy'd come again. Oh, I'll be there next week. There's a timing in the Christian life. There's a time to be honest. There's a time to let, oh, it'd been good to have that extra money. Good job. You let it go. It's good for bread. You could buy your bread. You could make some money. But there's a time to let it go. These are just practical things. Sometimes they hurt when we come face to face with our failures. But we need to know why Satan brings them. And he will bring them. And he knows our weakness. And so here it is. The Lord Jesus, the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee in their hands, and they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Excuse me.
The lust of the eye. Wouldn't that be something? The Lord Jesus would cast himself down, and all of a sudden, the angels picked him up. Psalm 91. Quite a thing to see. That intrigues us, don't it, brethren? That would. Don't you like to see? There's so many things to see in this world. I love to see a gifted athlete. Don't you like it, brethren and sisters? When a man sits down with a musical instrument and it just flows. I just love to see it. Or to see a basketball player throw a three-pointer from half court. I just love to see it. Oh, I'd just love to be that man too. Yeah. The weakness, isn't it, really? It's quite a thing that that man's God's gifted him like that, though, isn't it? You know, the Christian life isn't all about my gift and me and myself and I, isn't it? The Lord Jesus could have done that. Bad part about it is it was Satan that instigated it. Been a terrible thing the Lord Jesus would have done. He'd been listening to the devil. We need to be aware of this. We can learn this from this. The devil speaks to us through these weaknesses. The lust of the eye. How many broken marriages is there because of the lust of the eye? How many financially broken men because of the lust of the eye, wanting to put on a show, outdo your neighbor? Remember Mr. Christopherson, Al's dad, telling about farming, and next farmer up the road, he was borrowing money and he was buying, and he was building. Oh, it looked great. But then there was a sale up the road there. It wasn't so great. Sometimes we can be, the lust of the eye can draw us into things that are sinful. That are sinful. The Lord Jesus, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Psalm 91 is an interesting psalm. But it has to do with the care. God's care for us. Let's go there. It increases our faith. You know, there's an interesting story connected with that as I was seeking out helps with this. Psalm 91. Verse 1. It's a short psalm. Let's read it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy inhabitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come upon nigh on thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Here's the verse of scripture that the devil used in the temptation. They shall bear thee up their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Quite a psalm, Psalm 91. It's a psalm. You remember this in the Old Testament. There was an Old Testament covenant given to the children of Israel. And when they received that covenant, they said, all the Lord has said, we will do. But in the New Testament, it's quite different. Unto us is given a sacrifice. And that sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the Lord Jesus says, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. It's, as the scripture says, a great salvation that we have. We can't mess it up, brethren. It's a finished work. I'm thankful for that. It has scripture after scripture of God's care for us. But in the New Testament, it alerts us to these things as preying on us. And Peter says this, if you keep these words, you won't fall. There's a salvation for us in the New Testament for our everyday life too as well. We have eternal life. There is a salvation to walk victoriously for the Lord Jesus, and that's staying in the path of the Word of God. When Satan says, God's holding something from you, you can use the Word of God. The Lord Jesus says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And you and I know that path for us in the Word of God is a path that not only keeps us, but it's a path that'll bless us, bless those around us, but it'll bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know the Lord Jesus was, he died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again. And as you read about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see the Father, the Son, the triune God was all in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see God's power in the universe. Can you see, can I see the power in the Word of God? The very Word of God that'll keep us. Oftentimes, have you went to do something? And maybe you'd done it to be seen. You didn't do it for Christ so much, but you done it for yourself. And in that, you done it, you tempted the Lord God. You failed. Oftentimes when we do things, even do them in a good way, You're doing something? Do it in God's time. Do it according to what God has given you to do. With what? It's according to what a man hath that I can give. You can't give more than what God give you to give. And these principles will keep us. But we can see God's care in this psalm. We can see God's care in the ultimate gift of the Lord Jesus, can't we, brethren? And when the temptation comes, sometimes we throw it to the wind, don't we? Say, oh, it's all right, I'll just go ahead and do it anyway. I remember a young person when I was first saved. He was doing things that he wasn't supposed to do according to the Word of God. I remember a brother giving him an exhortation according to the Word of God. He said, I don't care. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And you know, his life is just lost. I mean, I believe he's saved, but his life just didn't amount to much. Marriage after marriage, no good. God has our view for us good. If he'd have stayed in the Word of God, I believe he'd have been blessed and victorious. And God's care would have took care of him, but he went his own way on his own strength. To me, that was a very vivid lesson to Marv Johnson. I know full well I could go astray just like him. It wouldn't be hard on him. But I did learn something that day, that if I am going to be blessed and kept, I have to stay in the Word of God. That's a place, that's a safe place. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty is to stay in the Word of God, isn't it, brethren? When you get in tough times financially, I had an accountant tell me this. I worked for him. He wasn't my account. But he said, Marv, if you're going to make some money, you're going to have to steal 30% from the government. Made me sick. And I thought, if I got to steal 30% from the government, I don't have a God. My God is able to pay my taxes like he did when he went and got the coin. I don't have to skim. Oh, I believe there's businesses that's a key. That's how they make money. Beat the government out of 30%. That put a lot on the table, wouldn't it, the devil would say. That'll really bless you, won't it, he'll say. God says, I'll keep you. Stand in the shadow of the Almighty, brother. I believe there's tax law. I realize, being in business, there's tax laws out there that'll save you money. My first tax man cost me a lot of money. He didn't know all the laws. He didn't know my business. And I'm not saying, brother, that you shouldn't use the tax laws that the government gives us to save money. They give you that money. We all know, us farmers, they give us that money so we'll buy and keep the economy going. The thing is, we got to be careful that we don't overspend so we haven't got any money. There is a timeline for that financial life of yours and mine. And sometimes it takes years, but give you this. I learned this about Mr. McDonald. He claimed the Psalm 91, William McDonald. Back in 1922, William McDonald was 5 years old. He was dying, and his mother was a Christian, and he was drawing his last breath. She turned her back. She couldn't see him, her son suffer. And his mother's brother-in-law stepped in the door. He had walked from another village. He said, "I was reading the Word of God, and he gave her the last three verses of this psalm." And William MacDonald recovered. God saved him. "With a long life will I satisfy him, show him my salvation." And she turned to her brother-in-law and she said this, "What on earth would ever make you say, give me these scriptures? He's dying." But if you read about, and I've enjoyed William MacDonald's life and his ministry, God saved him and used him mightily. A humble brother. And I looked at him like John. "Who is it?" They'd say to John, "It is the Lord." John gives us a vivid, he's always in tune with the Lord Jesus. That's the way I looked at William MacDonald when I read his commentary. He seems to be quite in tune. He's a teacher. It opened up many truths to me. And my job is to pass them on for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to help you. And it surely helped me. And I will deliver him and honor him. These are principles that we can count on, brethren. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The blessed life. It's a victorious life. Use the Word of God in your life daily. Step out on it in faith. When God says something, you can count on it. You can bank on it. It's good. It's true. It'll work in your life. The same Word that spoke this creation into existence. Let us pray. Our God.